great song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Yeah, I love that. I love that song. I just love it. And it always speaks to me every time we sing it in church. You know, there have been hundreds of renditions, I suppose, of that song. But, you know, I've just always been just so thrilled when I hear that we're going to sing that song. Great, great song. Good to have you back. This is Pastor Ron Schermerhorn, and it is time for another time for us to just get together, talk about the scriptures, talk about what's happening here at Forest Hills Presbyterian Church. We got a ton of things going on. It's very, very busy these days, but I'm just really glad that you've chosen to be with me today. I hope that you are enjoying the times that I'm spending here on our website, just in this small podcast, to talk about the Word of God and to talk about, you know, how the Word of God applies to our lives and where we live. Because the fact of the matter is, if the Bible is not applying to us, and if we see that the Bible is just kind of another book and it really doesn't make any difference, then I'm wasting my time and you're wasting your time on Sunday morning. But the fact of the matter is, it does make a difference. And the reason it makes a difference is because we know fully that Christ lived, he died, he rose again the third day and ascended to God. So this is important for us to know, that Jesus was God in the flesh, and he speaks to us still. It's because of his resurrection that we can believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that it is the authoritative Word of God for today in particular. Yes, it's 2,000 years later. Yes, I get all that. I do. But you know what? The fact that he said that he was going to die and 3 days later be risen from the dead in human bodily form, that makes everything he said valid. Period. That makes everything he said valid. So that's where we begin whenever we look at the Word of God. That's where we begin whenever we focus on his Word and try to understand what he's trying to tell us. So, as you know, the last few times we've been together, I've been focusing on the series from the Gospel of John on who is Jesus, the seven I am statements of Christ. We've talked about the Good Shepherd, we've talked about the door, we've talked about so many things that involve who Jesus is, as John remembered everything about what Jesus said. He highlighted those seven statements of Christ. Well, today we're going to go back to John chapter 11, verses 17 through 37, and we are going to focus on these verses that talk about Jesus being the resurrection and the life. Now, if you know John chapter 11 well at all, you'll remember that this is a portion of scripture that relays the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And he says in that passage, "I am the resurrection and the life." So we can have two responses to this. We can believe it, or we can disbelieve it. And that's a wonderful thing about John's writings, and especially the Gospel of John. You know, John says Jesus would do a miracle. Jesus would say something amazing. He would preach a long sermon. And then at the end, John would add this little verse in that would say something like, "And there were many who believed, and there were many who did not believe or disbelieved." And for him, that understanding of faith and believing is crucial. He said there were some who believed and some who disbelieved. So let's delve into this passage and see what it has to teach us. So if you got a Bible in front of you, go to John 11, and I'll read verses 17 through 37. It's the entire account of Jesus at Bethany. So here's what happens. Verse 17, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha came to Jesus, and she said to him, now look, if you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. Makes sense. But she said, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly, important, she rose quickly and went to him. She wasn't messing around. Jesus was there. She needed to talk to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, the verse we all know. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? So it's true. So yeah, she could have. He could have, of course, kept this man from dying. He could have kept Lazarus from dying. So you see, here's that little verse in there that John just throws in. He says, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. But others said, I'm not so sure. I mean, if he really loved him, he would have been here and healed him, right? Here's a little tidbit from history. I preached this sermon last Sunday. If you recall, the Jews spread the rumor that Jesus' disciples had stolen his body, and thus saying, you know, hey, he rose from the dead, because rumors spread that, again, the disciples snuck in there, took the body. After Jesus' resurrection, Claudius Caesar, who was the emperor of Rome at the time, issued a decree demanding people stop stealing bodies from Judah's sepulchers. Did you know that? It was found on something called the Nazareth inscription. You see, it was a marble tablet about 24 inches by 15 inches written in the Greek language. And it decreed a death penalty in Israel for anyone caught robbing bodies. Crazy, right? Yeah. Well, normally grave robbers at the same time stole valuables, but certainly not bodies. So why pass a law now in Claudius's reign? Because a body came up missing, and that was the body of Jesus. So Claudius, smart guy that he was, said, all right, anybody wants to steal a body? There's a death penalty involved with that. So obviously there weren't any more bodies stolen from the graves. But Jesus' body was never stolen in the first place. Paul tells us of hundreds of witnesses to the risen Christ. So we can prove here, through historical writings, not just Paul, but other writings, who claimed that they saw the person of Jesus in bodily form after his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8, Paul said, you know, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also learned, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then Paul says, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, Paul said, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So Paul says here that history told us that 500 brothers saw Jesus at once. Now, either all of them were having some kind of crazy hallucination, or he was really risen. Revelation 1, 17 and 18 talks about it. And Jesus said to John the apostle, he said, fear not, I am the first and the last, the living and the dead. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You know, it's a question that's a good question to ask, but he says, why didn't he just say, I am the resurrection? Why did Jesus have to throw in, I am the life as well? I mean, what's that about? Well, it helps to understand where they were when Jesus said these words. His best friend, Lazarus, had just died and had been in the grave for 4 days. Now, you may remember, and you've probably heard somewhere along the way, that at that time it was very popular to believe and to think that a dead person's spirit would hover around the body for 3 days, and that any time during that three-day period, that person, the spirit could enter the body again, and that person could rise again. So Jesus waited 4 days so that there would be no doubt. So remember that. As Jesus entered their village, both of Lazarus' sisters approached him and said, hey, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Remember that. Now that's true, but Jesus had deliberately delayed his arrival because he intended to raise Lazarus from the dead as his last miracle before his own crucifixion. So he knew Lazarus was going to come out of the grave. How cool is that? And Lazarus does, as we know, come out of the grave. He rises from the dead. But here's the deal. Lazarus was going to die again, poor soul. Okay? His resurrection was not permanent. But you see, we believe as Christians that our resurrection from the dead will be permanent. We are going to be raised with Christ and to be with him forever. Not here on earth, but when Christ returns, all of us are raised to eternal glory. We will never die again. Truly, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So, we have the promise of eternal life. In fact, we can read about it in the most popular verse in Scripture. You know what that is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He is the resurrection and the life. Okay? Jesus is not merely the giver of resurrection. He himself is the resurrection. That's so cool. A couple of things here I want to talk about before I'm done. Be done here in just a minute. Jesus delays, first of all, for a greater glory. Verses 17 through 22. The sisters came and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Well, God's delays are never God's denials. Okay? God's delays are never God's denials. Christ intentionally allowed the situation to become humanly impossible. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, they haven't come to the end of their rope yet, so they haven't turned to Christ yet. The darkest moments often become the clearest revelation of God's power. Oh, yeah. John Piper says it this way. He says, God is always doing 10,000 things in our lives, and we may understand only one or two of them. The delay that causes tears today, he said, may prepare the stage for a greater joy tomorrow. So, trust Christ even when the timing seems late. The Savior who delays is still the Savior who loves. Second thing. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus doesn't say, I will bring resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. You want to know who Jesus is? He's the resurrection. In him is the resurrection. Eternal life is union with Christ himself. Resurrection is found in a person, not in an idea. Or not in an IOU or a promise. Okay? Physical death is not the end for believers. And when I preached this on Sunday, I looked down to one of the men in our church who had lost his wife recently, and I said, You believe me? You hear what the scripture is saying? Physical death is not the end for believers. You will see your wife again. And I told the congregation on Sunday, I said, look, my parents, my mother died in 2014. My father passed in 2018. I have not shed a tear for them because I know where they are and I know I'm going to see them again. I miss them all the time. But yeah, I'll see them again. And the great question of faith is, do you believe this? Oh yeah, believers die physically, yet spiritual life cannot be destroyed. The grave is only a doorway into a further fellowship with the Lord. Third, Jesus enters fully into human sorrow. Oh man, yeah. I think that verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. In those two words, two syllables, in Jesus, and he wept. In those three syllables, Jesus wept. We find out more about who God is than, I mean, if it was just those two words, we would understand more of God. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of reading lately about the, you know, folks who, through the centuries from the beginning of the church, had this argument going on that God doesn't suffer, that God does suffer. You know, he suffered with Jesus on the cross. No, he didn't. It was the man, Jesus, who experienced the suffering. Though he was God in the flesh, he still suffered. Jesus weeps with us. Now that verse, that what's so amazing about that little tiny verse is Jesus knew in a matter of moments, because he knew the plan of God. It was his plan. He knew in a matter of moments that Lazarus would rise again. But when he saw their weeping, he wept with them. He still enters the pain of Mary and Martha when he saw them, because he loved them and he loves you. And when we struggle, he is with us. He understands it. I said this on Sunday, divine sovereignty never diminishes divine compassion. Because some people will say, well, if he's sovereign and he knows what's going to happen, why doesn't he just eliminate that so we don't have any pain in this world? That's not realistic. We live in this world, and in this world, there will be pain. Intense, deep sorrow. It's just the way it is. That's how God has planned it. And his sovereign will gets done in our lives no matter what. But his compassion never changes, even though he knows that we struggle. The tears of Jesus anticipate victory. Oh yeah, Christ bears our grief before he removes it. That's what this story tells us. He bore their grief, and then he removed their grief. The tears of Jesus demonstrate that the sovereign Son of God is not emotionally distant. His omnipotence is joined in to infinite tenderness. So, Jesus stands before every grieving heart and every human fear with this declaration, I am the resurrection and the life. So, the Christian faith rests on three unshakable realities. First, though we may not see him in the moment, God is working for his glory. That is an unshakable reality. We may not know it, we may not feel it, we may not see him, but God is working for his glory. Secondly, Christ himself is our life beyond death. Oh yeah, unshakable reality. Christ himself is our reality beyond death. And then third, Christ enters our suffering with compassion and power. That's what we believe. Well, the question is, no, what's the question that Jesus asked Martha? Do you believe this? Do you believe it? See, those who trust in Christ possess a life that death itself cannot destroy, because their life is hidden in the one who is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? That's the question. So there we are on the fourth gong at 4 o'clock in the afternoon here at Forest Hills Presbyterian Church. Yeah. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Hey, look. There's a lot of things in this world that can make our lives miserable. But do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Next week, I'm going to be talking to you about the sermon I'm going to be preaching this Sunday on He Said, I Am the Way, the Truth, the Life. Do you believe that? That's essential. You might not totally believe it yet. You might not totally understand it yet. I am not sure that I do completely myself. Oh, I believe him to be the way. There's no question that I believe Jesus to be the way. I believe that he's the truth, and I believe that everything he said is truth. I believe, because of that, that everything in the Word of God is true, and I call it the Word of God because it is God's Word. It is him speaking to us. I believe that with my whole heart. And he is the life. There is no life apart from Christ. Without Christ, you've got nothing to depend on. So I believe those things. I don't even fully understand why I do, but I do. I believe it. What about you? Well, I hope you join us next Sunday, 10:30. We are going to continue to talk about the I Am statements of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. That is good stuff. And I'm so looking forward to preaching this sermon. It's just powerful stuff. Really, really powerful stuff. But again, you know, are you really following the Lord? You know? Do you believe? Do you really believe in Christ? Do you believe that he is who he says he is? Do you trust him? Do you believe him? I hope you do. I do. You know this old hymn, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Man, is that true. When I don't understand what the world is doing, I can trust him. I can trust him. Well, let's pray together. Father, I do thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for it speaking to us today about who you are. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you, 100%. I rest in you, and I ask, Lord, that you would speak to each heart today that would listen. Give us a good day on Sunday, Lord. Man, we need it. Oh, in a world that's just going crazy around us, it's good to know that we can trust in you. It's sweet to trust in you, Father. Thank you so much for being with me today and being with us. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Hey, listen next week. We'll talk to you then. Thanks. Forest Hills Presbyterian Church, 10:30 Sunday morning. Y'all come, okay? You'll enjoy it. Great group of people. Fantastic. God bless you. See you then.